Pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports. You've come to the right place. 95.7 FM, The Fan, Rochester.
Albert pass for Keller, a defenseman. Nice move, cuts to the net, score! Megan Keller, the overtime hero, United States, wins gold in Milan!
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
USA, 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 USA. Yeah, inject that remix of Freebird right into my veins. Can't wait for it. U.S. plays Slovakia later. The Canadians take the ice momentarily against the Finns in men's Olympic hockey, the women winning gold yesterday, as you heard Kenny Albert on the call on NBC. No Sidney Crosby for Team Canada today. That was announced probably about an hour and 15 minutes ago or so. Connor McDavid will wear the C as the captain for the Canadians when they drop the puck, like I said, against Finland in about 15 minutes or so. We'll keep you up to date on that one here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary, live across North America on SiriusXM Channel 375. If you haven't seen it yet, for some reason, if you've somehow missed it, Megan Keller's OT gold medal winning goal against Canada was sick yesterday. I don't know a better way to describe the toe drag dangle through the defense and then burying the shot to win the gold. And now we've got a chance at double gold. Would be the first time in history, obviously, that the Americans would win double gold in hockey, both men and women. The women have done it more recently than the men. Obviously, the men have not won gold in hockey at the Olympics since 1980, the miracle on ice. So we're a bit overdue. Will the Americans play the right way? And I don't mean will the players play the right way, like they're not playing the system the way they're supposed to. They're doing exactly what Mike Sullivan wants them to do. If you've heard me talk about the strategy for the U.S. Olympic team at all in the last week or so, filling in here on Westwood One Sports, then you've heard me talk about the Mike Sullivan strategy of bore them to death. That is the way he wants his guys to play. He wants them to play within the system, play good, smart hockey, don't take any chances, very risk averse. And again, I'll reference the conversation we had with Pierre Maguire yesterday here on You Better You Bet, which, once again, I'll remind you, you can find in your podcasts, wherever you get them, by searching You Better You Bet. Pierre agreed with my assessment. They've got to open it up, not just in the gold medal game. If they get there against Canada, you're not going to beat Canada 2-1 the way the women did yesterday. The Canadians, the men, are simply too gifted offensively. The Mac line that we've talked about with Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, and Macklin Celebrini, especially now that Celebrini has taken over for Crosby on the power play in Sid's absence. There's just too much offensive firepower up and down the lineup, but especially when they roll those three out there together, that you're going to have to score at least three to beat the Canadians in a gold medal game if you get there Sunday morning for Team USA. And I'll add, oh, by the way, Slovakia has been very, very stingy. And if you don't open it up just a little bit this afternoon against them, Samuel Lavai he'll smother you. They're a goaltender. He's had a very good Olympics, Samuel Lavai. And so they're going to have to open it up, the American team. We'll see if they can do that starting this afternoon against the Slovaks. Obviously, Westwood One will keep you updated, and we'll keep you updated this morning as well once the Canadians drop the puck against Finland. Top of the hour, somebody may have finally written a check with their mouth that they cannot cash. Plus, I have a question. We talked a lot of Chiefs yesterday. I think there's a couple other teams who are similar to the Chiefs in annual expectations who may be in a similar boat for different reasons, but we'll outline that at the top of the hour. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell going to join us at 11:20 a.m. Eastern, so in about 50 minutes from now here on You Better You Bet, plus a lot of college basketball to talk when we go streaking through the quad in about 12 minutes or so. But Dan, our video producer, brought up an interesting question in our chat yesterday afternoon after Megan Keller scored that goal to win gold for the women in the Olympics. He said, is that one of the best championship-winning scores in sports? And immediately you go back to walk-off moments, right? You go back to Joe Carter's home run in 93 for the Blue Jays against the Phils. You go back to maybe just a couple years ago to the Chiefs winning in overtime in the Super Bowl. The walk-off moments are the ones that immediately jump to mind. But I think there are ones that aren't necessarily walk-off moments that you may think of, that there were still a few seconds left in the game, right? Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone in Super Bowl 43 for the Steelers and the Cardinals. Michael Jordan, Game 6 against the Jazz in 98. There are plenty of those moments that weren't necessarily walk-offs, but were still incredible championship-winning scores. And we got to kicking some of those around in our group chat. And I'm just curious. I'm going to open it up to the group. And I'll start with you, Tyler. When you think of incredible championship winning scores, not like the actual score, 93 to 82, but like the score that locked up a championship in any given sport, which one immediately rises to the top of mind for you?
So the one that immediately came to mind for me, also, like, I'm 30 years old, so I didn't experience stuff like in the 70s or the 80s. So right. Let's take what I got here. So, I mean, the Chris Jenkins buzzer beater national championship for Villanova against North Carolina, like, that's the one that stood up to me. I mean, just an insane shot. And the way that ended the game played out with the crazy Marcus Page shot from three, which we thought would have sealed the game, and then Chris Jenkins hitting that nearly half-court shot, that to me is the one that stood out immediately. And this wasn't really like a championship one. The shot to me was like so absurd. It was like the Kawhi Leonard shot that hit off the rim four times against the Sixers. And that one to me was like maybe like the most insane. It wasn't a championship, but that was like one of the more crazier buzzer beaters I've ever seen. So Chris Jenkins for Villanova was the one that immediately came out to me.
You know what? The Kawhi Leonard one, I still remember where I was because we had taken our kids to Universal and we were walking back from the amusement park that night and happened to be walking past a bar. And we're like, we could take the kids in for a couple minutes and grab a drink real quick. We're walking back. And that game happened to be on. And I just remember sitting there watching it. My wife, who doesn't love sports nearly as much as I do, be like, why? What's going on? What's the big deal? And there were a bunch of people from Toronto in the bar. And it was just wild. I remember, still distinctly remember where I was for that Kawhi Leonard buzzer beater. Kenny, which one comes to the top of the list for you as we compare the Megan Keller gold medal winning overtime goal for Team USA yesterday to great championship winning scores?
I think I made a great list, and a lot like Tyler, I made a list of five, so I'll give you my five, and they're all okay. In championship games. I'm a lot like Tyler. I'm a younger guy, so it's only moments in my lifetime. Obviously, I've seen a bunch of highlights of historic moments, but didn't get to see them live. So my five, Santonio Holmes, game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 43, one of the greatest catches in NFL history in my eyes. Malcolm Butler, game-winning interception in the Super Bowl. Yep. They should have obviously handed it to Lynch, but historic moment. Three, I had the Chris Jenkins game winner in the national championship. Two, I had the Freddie Freeman walk-off in the World Series, Dodgers-Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And then number one, blocked by James, LeBron blocking Iguodala in Game 7 to come back 3-1 and win the NBA Finals.
I'm kind of disappointed I didn't think to mention the Freeman homer. That's a huge one. Mine is, you guys did a good job of outlining all the stuff that you remember during your lifetimes. And I mentioned some of the ones I remember, obviously. Jordan in 98, Joe Carter in 93 for the Blue Jays, the Santonio Holmes catch. All of those are near the top of the list. But I have to list, this isn't just me being a homer or a yinzer. I have to list at the all-time pinnacle And as it gets older and older and seeps farther and farther back into history, it gets a little bit more forgotten every time. But it's always brought up by people, regardless of age, regardless of whether they were alive for it. And I was not alive for it. But I have the man's autographed baseball here in my office, so I have to mention it. I don't know if you guys can see that on camera. The light's sort of glaring off of the case that I have the ball in. Should I take the ball out of the case? Yeah, I'll do it. I don't care. Bill Mazeroski's home run in the bottom of the ninth for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1960 against the New York Yankees. There you go. You can see it. The old Maz autograph on the baseball there that I have in the office. That is, I still think, the most perfect, the most incredible championship winning score. Not just because it's a walk-off. Not just because it's in Game 7 of the World Series. And not just even because it's against the New York Yankees, right? The juggernaut, the powerhouse. And for a team that, you know, isn't often thought of when we think baseball greatness. Despite a great decade of the 70s, the Pittsburgh Pirates aren't looked at as a team that wins championships. And look, yeah, I get it. We're talking about 66 years ago now. So many of us weren't alive to see it. But when you think about, go back, when you get a minute, look, it's a Friday. You're not doing crap at work anyway as you're listening to us. So take 5 minutes and go to the Wikipedia page. I'll do it with you right now. And go to the Wikipedia page for the 1960 World Series. And this is what I think elevates the Mazeroski home run to the pinnacle, to the peak, to number one. Again, not just because I'm a Pittsburgher and grew up a downtrodden Pirates fan. Not just because I grew up a baseball fan first and then learned as a kid to indulge in other sports, but because of the wild nature of this World Series. I'm going to take you through it back and forth, right? The Yankees won game two, 16-3. Okay, 16-3. They come back. They go back to New York for game three to Yankee Stadium. And the Yankees win game three, 10-0. So now the Pirates, a downtrodden organization that hadn't done much over the years, are in the Bronx, down 2-1 against this legendary Yankees team. And they've been outscored 26-3 in the previous two games. They come back and win games 4-5. So all of a sudden, they've got a 3-2 lead in the series headed home. And you're thinking, man, this team might be able to grind out one more win. Instead, they get blown out at home in game six, 12-0. It's like, well, this is it. There's no way we're beating the Yankees now. It's game seven. And they go back and forth in that game seven. Back and forth, back and forth. It's a high-scoring game. It's 5-4 going into the eighth inning. Yankees pad the lead and go up 7-4. Pirates counter with 5 in the bottom of the eighth. And so they're up 9-7. Yankees had 2 more in the top of the ninth. Think about watching this in modern day, how we'd all be going nuts on social media if it was this back and forth nature of a game. In game 7 of a World Series with a massive underdog against just a behemoth, a Goliath like the Yankees. So they're down in the bottom of the ninth. Or excuse me, it's tied up going to the bottom of the ninth, 9-9. And a guy who nobody expects to be that guy, Bill Mazeroski, who was known for his defense, comes to the plate and jacks one. So again, it's not just because I'm a Pirates fan. It's not just because I'm a Yinzer. It's not just because I grew up a baseball fan first. It's not just because I got the dude's autographed baseball sitting on the shelf behind me here in my office. I think if you played a game like that with similar circumstances in modern times, it would go down as easily the greatest championship winning moment in sports history. And so I think it should still be considered that, even though none of us remember it, and there's very little visual record of it, other than that grainy film, which is now yellowing, it's so old, of Bill Mazeroski rounding second base, waving his hat in the air. Coming up, It's cool. Speaking of hats, bring your green hat. We're going in on four of the biggest stories in college basketball going into a massive weekend as we'll streak through the quad next here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
NFL franchise tag window is open, with free agency starting within weeks. If it happens between now and kickoff, we'll tell you what you need to know on Westwood One Sports.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I am Steve Smith Sr., former NFL wide receiver and host of the 89 Show on YouTube. As men, we're taught to handle things. Be strong. Don't complain. Don't talk about it. Being a man also means being a father, a friend, a husband. And carrying all that gets heavy. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. If you got things you don't say out loud, BetterHelp gives you a place to say them. Online therapy that works around your schedule. Visit BetterHelp. That's Better, H-E-L-P. .com/89. Don't wait.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.